If you would turn, I'd like you to turn to Luke 9. But we're not going to get to that yet, but I want you to turn to Luke 9 and hold on. But you are welcome to follow us for the other ones as well. Last week, we continued our series on the giving blessing. And we talked about stewardship last week. A few weeks ago, we talked about first fruits and what that's all about. We talked about the tithe itself, and the word tithe means tenth. And if you remember when we talked about stewardship, we talked about how what stewardship is this is God's. He has given us reign over it, but to reign over it His way. We are stewards of all that is God's, including our finances, including our families, including our homes, including our church. And we touched a little bit on how when Adam and Eve ate that apple or the fruit and touched that tree, because they were told not to, they were more acting like owners than stewards of the garden. Now today we want to continue the understanding of the tithe itself. And if you remember last week, we left off as the tithe is the biggest heart test there is. It's really a test of where your heart is, where you are in your walk, and how much are you willing to commit to the Lord in those things. We talked about how it's a tenth, and the number 10 is a number of testing. There were 10 plagues, and it's a number, let me qualify, a testing for obedience' sake. Now, the number 40 is also in Scripture, and it is a number of testing, but it's a number of testing for perseverance' sake. It's a number of testing on perseverance. 10 is a number of testing for obedience. There's 10 plagues. Israel was tested 10 times in the wilderness. God tested Jacob 10 times when he was trying to marry the woman that he was truly in love with. Matthew, we read about the 10 virgins with the oil. They're waiting. So the number of 10, it's how many ways our disobedience is tested. And the tithe is a tenth. So it is truly a heart test in the things that we do and how we are in our relationship to Christ. So now, as we get into the tithe and understanding some principles of tithing, we talked a little bit in the past about when we are obedient to God with our giving, and not just with our money, but when we are obedient to God in our principles, the principles of His Word, because His principles are not temporary. The principles of God that He outlines in the Old Testament flow into the New Testament and are still true. They don't change. And there's principles of how we are to live our lives. And one of the principles, number one, is tithing overcomes the curse. Okay? And we talked from the very beginning that when we are obedient to God in His principles, in our tithes, there's a blessing that comes with them. And we're going to get into the blessing. But when we're not, there is a curse. And part of that curse is our hand, His hand is taken off. His blessing is taken off. And we're going to see how that kind of comes into play. So number one principle in tithing is the tithe actually helps overcome the curse. Now, what does that all mean? Let's look at Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that a blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So if tithing is the greatest heart test, then it is also a heart test of faith. So the blessing here, Christ redeemed us from the curse. It is through our faith that we are redeemed from the curse, our faith in Christ. So we cannot have faith in Christ in one area and not in another area. If you believe God has redeemed you, He is your Redeemer. He has redeemed us from everything. He is the Redeemer, the one who redeems our sin, but the one who also redeems us from bondage. And part of that bondage is our fleshly connection to material things that make them more important than our relationship with God. Now, Peter 2:24 says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Now, you're saying, wait a minute, how does tithes remove the curse, overcome the curse? Because when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and as I accept Him, you know, I'm no longer living under the curse. I'm living under grace. Right. But I want you to think about something. Have you sinned since you became a believer, since you've accepted Christ in your heart? Well, Christ came to save us from our sins, didn't He? But have we sinned since we've accepted Him? Yes. Yes, we have. So we are daily taught to go before the Lord confessing our sins and to make things right with God. Because sin puts us under the shackles of the curse. But when we repent, we are free. Same thing. Think about physical. Have you been sick since you've become a believer? Bible says, you know, I am to be healed. I am made to be healed. I am made, you know, to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. But our bodies get sick. But we can go to God daily, repenting of whatever it is that we need to repent about and receive His healing and casting out spirit of infirmities and anything else that's attacking us in Jesus' name. So those things come on us, but in our daily obedience, they come off of us. See, the curse on our finances and our life comes on us when we choose to do things our way instead of God's way. So when we are obedient in our tithes regularly, we are overcoming this curse in our faithfulness to God. Even though Jesus bore our sins on the cross, we received it. We still sin, but we go to Him. Matthew 18:17 says, "He Himself bore our infirmities and bore our sickness." So yeah, He took our physical sickness from us, but we get sick, but we go to Him for healing. We go to Him to rebuke that spirit of infirmity upon us. Same thing. We go to Him. We trust Him in faithfulness over our tithes, over the things to do. If we disobey the Word of God, it comes upon us. But when we are obedient to the principles of God, He moves. Malachi 3:11 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." Now, a couple of times in the Bible it talks about the devourer. It says, also talks about, you know, in the New Testament, He comes like a roaring lion seeking whom may He devour, referring to Satan, the devil. But looking at verse 10 before verse 11, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord." And we talked about last week, He's saying, test me, trust me. Test me here. So He's talking about giving our tithe and trusting God with what most people consider the most important thing to them, their money, their material, the thing they fear losing the most. And in some cases, next, maybe even more important than losing their families. They fear losing money, losing status, losing the ability to financially have over even families, when our priorities should be God, family, church, and so forth. So he's saying here, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So he's saying, you trust me in verse 10. Bring your tithes into the storehouses, to me, that there may be food in my house, in God's house. And guess what? I will protect the rest of your life. I will protect the other areas of your life. So it will not be under the curse of sin. So you will not be devoured by him. How does that all come to play? Think about it. He comes in. When we stop trusting God with these things, we are starting to trust ourselves. What happens when we start to trust ourselves? We start to panic. We start to get anxious. We start to become overwhelmed. We start to stress out. We start to be so focused on these things that we're not focused on godly things. And what are we? What's happening? The enemy is devouring us. He's attacking our spiritual life. He is attacking us emotionally. He's attacking our faith. He's attacking us mentally. We're consumed by these things. We're consumed by these things. He's saying, you do your part and you trust me with this ultimate heart test of tithes. And guess what? I'll hold the enemy at bay and give you peace in the process. I'll take care of you. So tithes helps us overcome the curse. Matthew 5:17 says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus is continuing these things. He's continuing. He's teaching us how to overcome this curse, how to take it to the next level in faith, to trust. He didn't come to do away with this principle, but to take it to the next level and to trust him in it. So, first principle is it helps us overcome the curse. Second principle, and if you notice, this has nothing to do with paying bills. This has nothing to do with a church saying, we need your money. This is, as I said from day one of this series, about God blessing us and protecting us from the curse, protecting us from the enemy getting his hands into our lives and areas of our lives that don't belong to him. This is about being in the presence of God and being obedient to the things of God so that God can work clearly and just bless our lives and through our lives bring forth a blessing. But the tithe is holy to God. That's the second principle. Leviticus 27:30 says this, and this is God giving instruction to Israel on how to prosper when they are in the promised land. He says this, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it is holy to the Lord. The word holy means it's separated. It's consecrated. It is precious to the Lord. It's meant to be set apart for the Lord. We are holy. We have been set apart in his righteousness in us. We are made holy by him, and we have been set apart. So the tithe, when you get into this land, he's saying, everything in it, everything in this land, all the tithe of the land, remember, everything belongs to God anyway. Saying the tithe is holy, separated unto me, keep it for me, set it apart. Deuteronomy 26:1-2 says, and it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, when he's given it to you to be a steward of it, that you will take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land, that the Lord your God is giving you and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. In other words, where God has established you to go, he's talking about place of worship, place where you worship him, where his name is, where he is present, where he is. You take those first fruits, you take those tithes, you put them in a basket, wherever you are, and you go there and you present them to the Lord. Deuteronomy 26, 13 and 14 says, then you shall say before the Lord your God, this is what the people are going to say to God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, my God, and have done according to all that you have commanded me. It's recognizing the tithe is holy, and you know what? I don't want this thing in my house because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. I need to get it out of my house as quickly as possible and present it before the Lord. Give it to the Lord because it's not mine, it's his. And the longer it sits in my house, temptation, humanity gets in the way. Oh, I've got this bill coming in. Those things begin to happen. It belongs to the Lord, and it belongs in the Lord's house. It does not belong to me. It does not belong in my bank account. It belongs into the Lord. It does not belong sitting on my shelf. It belongs to the Lord. I need to get it out. But I love this part where it says here, I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed it for unclean use. In other words, I didn't change my mind and say, you know what, I really got to pay this bill or really got to do this with it. Oh, I'm so angry at you, God, so I'm not going to do it. I'm upset and I got to take care of this. It's recognizing the tithe is set apart. It is holy for God. And I am giving it to him and it doesn't belong to me. I don't have a choice in how to use it. The only choice I have is to honor God because it is holy. If I make it unholy by making it mine, it goes back to the curse. I cannot overcome that curse. I am now in a state of sin and disobedience. When I realize the tithe is holy, I don't want it in my house. I want to give it to God. And I take joy in giving it to God. I want to get it into the house of God because that's where it belongs. The presence of God is where it belongs. It's not mine. It's his. Remember Jacob? In Genesis 28:22, Jacob had just awoken from a dream that God has given him. And he just encountered God. And he said, this stone which I have set a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Did God say, I want you to give me 10% of what you have? He just encountered the presence of God. And he didn't have a building with four walls. He had a stone. And said, you know what? This altar, this represents the place where the name of the Lord abides, as we just read earlier. Therefore, I am declaring that what a tenth of everything I have, I'm going to give to the Lord. This was 400 years before the law of Moses. It was something inside of him that led him to do this. Jacob vowed to tithe out of a grateful heart, out of just knowing what the right thing is. And this is what's so cool about being in the presence of God. When you are truly communing with the Lord, when we are tuned in to God speaking to us, we hear Him and we know what He requires of us. God did not have to say, okay, Jacob, now that you met me, you need to tithe 10%. He just knew what the right thing to do was because he encountered the presence of God. He knew what needed to happen. He heard that still small voice speaking and just knew out of a grateful heart, this is what I'm supposed to do. He wanted to give God his first fruits and his tithe, and he did it with a pure heart. And 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16, as it is written, be holy for I am holy. In other words, maintain a pure heart. The tithe is holy to God. So you want to stay holy? You give God what already belongs to Him and what He's required of us. And because it is His, it is holy. Third point is the tithe is blessed. It helps us overcome the curse. It is holy, but it is also blessed. 2 Chronicles 31:4 through 10 says this. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things they brought in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of the holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. In the third month, they began to lay foundations of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. They kept bringing stuff in. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. As the people were being obedient and were bringing in their tithes and their first fruits, God kept blessing them. And as God kept blessing them, they continued to be faithful. And the entire land was richly blessed by God. Even the king himself was like, what is going on here? Where is this coming from? How is this happening? The tithe is blessed because you're obedient to God in this principle of giving to God what is His already, of being a good steward of what He has given you. He's given it all, so Lord, we know tenth is holy to you. I am giving it back to you. I'm going to honor you. Tithe blessed the people. The people tithed. God blessed more. The more they were blessed, the more they were tithed. If you remember, I shared with you a lot of the material that I'm sharing is from the book called The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. And one of the things he says is, people who don't tithe always say, I never have enough to tithe. But you never hear someone who makes a commitment to tithing and giving to the Lord ever say something like that. Instead, they always say, I'm blessed. Yeah, I'm too blessed not to tithe. I'm too blessed not to tithe. When we tithe, we're trusting. And God is blessing. We are trusting. Going back to Malachi 3:10, bring the tithes into the storehouses that there may be food in my house. Bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. For those who were here last week, you remember us talking about how in heaven it is Christ that receives the tithes. He receives the tithes. So we are being obedient and faithful when we do this. He wants to bless. And he will bless your faithfulness. He will bless it. Now this last point, and this is where I ask you to turn. The tithe, fourth principle, is multiplied. Now, this is not an investment scheme, so to speak. This does not mean, you know, you invest in this pyramid scheme and money doubles. It does not work that way. But in his blessing, he multiplies what we give, what we give obediently. Luke 9:12-17. You know this story, most of us. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he, Jesus, said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. We read this story and we think that Jesus just did it. And if we really break it down, a lot of us think Jesus kept taking the basket. "Here you go, God, I bless it." They empty out the basket. "Here you go, God, I bless it." You know, it's like this thing, back and forth. That's not what happened. He wasn't just going back to Jesus. Jesus originally told them, "You feed them. You feed them. You do the work. I'm going to empower you to do the work." So what happened? He took what they had. He blessed them. Remember, our tithes are blessed. He blessed them. He gave them to the disciples. And as they were giving, they just continued to have. What was in those baskets they were feeding the people with continued to be filled with food miraculously. As they were obediently giving, they continued to have. So God was blessing the tithe here. He was blessing these things. This little boy gave a tithe. Where they received the food from was a tithe unto God. It was given to Jesus. And God, Jesus took it and he blessed it. He received it and he blessed it. And then everyone else, it multiplied that everyone else was blessed by it. See, this miracle did not happen in Jesus' hands. It happened in the hands of the disciples as they obeyed and did what they were told and were empowered to do. So there are two things about multiplication here. This tithe being multiplied when we tithe. First, is for something to multiply, it must first be blessed. For our monies, for our daily needs, to sustain us, to make it happen and be multiplied, they have to be blessed. And our tithe is blessed. So when we tithe, it blesses the rest. When we give to God, God blesses the rest. That's the thing. That's the key. It has to be blessed first. This is why we give first to God. That's why it is holy to God. As a personal testimony, I've shared this many times. First thing that my wife and I think about when we get whatever check or whatever monies that might enter into our hands is how much is holy for the Lord. What do we need to give to the Lord? Let's make sure we take that out first. That's the first check we try to write. That's the first money that comes out. And we never say we don't have enough money to pay the bills. And even before, when you commit to tithing, God multiplies your money and he makes it happen. I don't know how, it's his miracle, but it's our obedience that blesses, that brings forth his blessing upon it, that creates this miracle. That's why those that tithe say, I'm too blessed not to tithe. And those who don't will always say, I don't have enough to tithe. So this, the key for multiplication, if we want to talk about financial multiplication and things working under the provisions of God, is it has to be blessed. The only way it can be blessed is to give it to God. Look at your home. You want to be a godly home? You give your home to God. You commit to your home being a godly home so that God will bless it. Lord, it's not, Lord, bless my home and let me live my life my way. It's, Lord, bless my home as I live my life the way you've called me to live, according to your word in your Holy Spirit. You want your car to be blessed? Lord, help me to use my car to honor you. You want your job to be blessed? Lord, help me to bless you at my job, to be the light that you've called me to be the man or woman of God that I'm being called to be. Let God bless you. Let it bless you before it can multiply. Before money can multiply, it must be blessed, given to the Lord according to his principles. Look at Romans 11:16. It says, for the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. So, if the tithe is holy, and we give it to God according to his word in obedience, and he blesses it, guess what that makes the rest of it? Holy and blessed. But if we don't, and we don't realize that it is holy, and we defile it by keeping it for ourselves, the rest, he cannot be blessed. Hence, the curse will be over it. The devourer will have an open door to come in anytime and do what he does. The second rule of multiplication or principle of multiplication here is, in addition to being blessed, it has to be blessed first, is it has to be given away. For something to be blessed, it has to be given away. Look at this. Jesus, after he blessed the bread and the fish, he gave it to his disciples. And then his disciples gave it away. When we give to God, we are giving it to God to honor him and say, here, Lord, you take it. And you show me how to be good stewards of the rest. Show me how to honor you with the rest. Tithing is simply returning to God what is already his, because it all belongs to him anyway. It's giving our first fruits, our first 10% to the Lord through the church, through the place where we worship, where he dealt. See, tithing isn't giving, it's returning. Keep that in mind. It's returning because it belongs to him. And I'm honoring him with the way I return back to him instead of acting like I own it. I recognize it's his. It's his provisions. I'm on his land. I am on his land. This belongs to him anyway. In ancient days, when you lived under the rule of a king or a lord, you lived within the scope of their land. And you were stewards of their land with the land you were given. But as you worked the land, you gave back to them. And in return, your provisions were met. Your needs were met. We are living in the land of God. We are living under the provision and sovereignty of God, whose storehouses or his barns, we're told, are overflowing, that he's ready to pour out unto us. But we have to be willing to honor him, to recognize what the tithe is. Recognize that it's something blessed by God. It's holy and it's blessed, and it removes the curse and It's multiplied when it's done the right way. When we tithe and give back to God, you know what God does with it? He takes it and ministers to multiple areas. He takes it and grows it, and He blesses those around. Tithes is where we remove the curse. Tithes is where we give to the Lord so that our finances are blessed, the rest is blessed. It's where we give over and above our tithes, because only that which is shared can really be multiplied. I want you to think about that. Do you remember the story of Jesus with the talents, the servants, the parable with the talents? The one who took that talent, the one talent he was given, and did nothing with it, he was called wicked and lazy because he didn't take it. It wasn't blessed. He just gave back what he thought he owed his boss. But the ones who took it, multiplied it, and honored their master, they were the ones that were blessed. It was blessed, it was multiplied, and they were blessed even more so. The principle of giving more than what was already his is a key part of this. Yes, we can give our tithe, we can give our 10%, we can honor God that way. But how much more does God extend our faith when we give above that with joy, when we trust Him with even more than that? See, it goes back to that, to the story of Jacob. He just knew in his heart what the right thing was to do. And as we give, we know that the tenth, the tithe, is holy to God. But as we commune with God, we'll also know when we need to give more, when we need to do more, when we need to minister more and bless Him because He's blessing what we are giving. There's a purpose for this. It is never about paying a bill. It is never about a duty. You don't have a duty to give to this church. Tithing is obedience to God. It's not a duty, it's obedience. It's ultimately your choice. But this is what we're called to do. This is how our lives are blessed. Our monies are blessed. Everything about us is blessed. The curse is removed so that the devourer won't touch us, our families, our material things, our finances, because we're under His sovereignty. He will bless it. Because it is holy, and we realize it is holy because He is holy. And it's His anyway. And He will take, and He will make the rest work for His glory. So right now, as we go to God in prayer, Father, we thank You for the things You're showing us. And we pray today, Lord God, that You speak into us, Lord. You speak into us. And You help us to recognize that it's not something that we're being compelled to do grudgingly, Lord, but we are encouraged to do to honor and bless You, that we do it with joy. As we offer You, Lord God, offer to You our hearts, in obedience first, and our monies, and our tithes, and our offerings, and our first fruits, Lord, in obedience to You. We just thank You. Thank You for how You work. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you for a moment.